can just use your app.
Okay, I'm from the Results That Matter team, as it says here, and I'll be presenting work I've been doing with the Public Health Foundation, or you probably know it as PHF, to help public health agencies start building performance management systems based on a quality improvement cycles. And I'm pleased to see my partner from PHF here, Jack Moran, and a few around the room, a few users of the system I'll be showing you, including one of the presenters later, Kate. Nothing to disclose except with my own consulting firm. We've been doing this kind of work, not exclusively in public health, since 1985, but just this year rolled out with the Public Health Foundation the system I'm going to be showing you for QI-based PM systems with 40 state and local health departments and one national department in something like five states in this country, and the national and state health agencies of the Federated States of Micronesia. And here's just a few of my this is from the last 4 or 5 years in public health, and I won't read it to you. You can see this kind of stuff at rtmteam.net, and where, in fact, you can get a copy of these slides in PDF form. So if you just go to rtmteam.net. So here's some context. How many of you are familiar with the Turning Point model for performance management? Okay, I'd say it looks like about 60, 70% of you. And so you know what this is, and of course it's been promoted for public health for over 10 years. Public Health Foundation recently did what they call a refresh, and this is the current version, at least graphically, with its four quadrants that you had before: performance standards, measurement, QI, reporting progress, and another component, a fifth component that was added around the outside, visible leadership. And this is good stuff, but Jack Moran, who's in the audience here, gave me a call one day late last year and said, health departments who don't already have a system going, who don't already have a lot of this going, have a very hard time finding out where to start from this model. And kind of no wonder it's so comprehensive. If you see on the bottom, it's got a self-assessment tool. Everything's great about it, but it's 8 pages long, 96 questions. It's given them too many places to start. So how do you really figure out where to start? And the other piece of it, just the definitions of performance management and performance management system are so long and complex. Nothing wrong with it. It's really where a public health agency wants to be going. But if you're not very far along, how do you know what to do next, where to get started? And so Jack kind of challenged me to, and he worked with me on it, it's his system as well, but to come up with like a quick start approach for public health agencies. So the first part of the quick start approach is to have much simpler definitions. That's definition of performance management, and I've used these definitions before. Using performance information to help make better decisions. That's all it is. That's much more operational than a very long definition. It builds a lot of comprehensive things into it. Performance management system is a little more complicated, but not much. It's doing the same thing, but as part of a continually repeated cycle of decision-making to improve future performance, where results of one cycle are fed back into the next. So what it's interesting that one thing that meets that definition of a performance management system is good old plan, do, check, act, quality improvement cycle, which a lot of health departments are now familiar with from organizations like PHF and others who have been promoting QI. And that's you're traditionally applied to very narrowly focused processes and practices, not to whole programs or whole departments. However, what we found is you can expand it. You can build on this to create a systemic performance management system for a whole department that builds in the things you want to be doing anyway. It builds in the SHA, the state or community health assessment. Builds in the state or community health improvement plan, the SHIP or the CHIP. And here it is, which there it is, just plan, do, check, act. But it's got a lot of different things, a lot more than you would have in a typical QI in each of the bubbles there. And it's really a large-scale systemic PDCA cycle. The plan stage, again, has the CHIP or the SHIP, the strategic plan, the budget, what we call operating plans. I'll get to that in a little bit. The plan creates expectations for the do stage, which is now implementing the policies and programs, and also what we're calling operational QI here, which is really the QI everybody's familiar with, the QI applied to specific processes and practices, and it's literally a PDCA cycle within a larger PDCA cycle. That creates data for the check phase, where you get into the analysis of results, which creates information for the act phase, which is now your decision making, which creates direction for starting the cycle over again. So you see it's really a large scale cycle that you can apply to the whole department, not just the individual processes and practices. And of course you don't do it by yourself, but you engage lots of stakeholders inside and outside, and you need a consistent way to manage the information, a technology backbone, if you will. And what we do for health departments that don't have anything, we've created an Excel template that they can start this in Excel. If they're a small health department without an awful lot of measures, they may be able to, that may be fine. Other health departments may want to go to something more advanced in the future. We also created a one-page, not an eight-page, self-assessment tool. So it's a lot faster to do a self-assessment based on this model. However, I've even stopped using that at the beginning of projects and just get right into quick start on plans and a little bit of expectations on what we're calling the operating plans. And then I think after they get into the get once through the cycle to plan, do, check, act, that's when they should really do the self-assessment. I think it's a little too early to do the self-assessment if you don't have anything yet. Well, we didn't invent the idea of using a QI cycle for PM systems. Some entire governments do it. City of Austin has done it. King County, Washington is doing it now. So it's not brand new, but we're kind of applying it to public health in a special way. And to in terms of Turning Point, completely compatible with Turning Point. All the components are there. Well, all we've done is kind of broken them apart and rearranged it a little. So I'm going to dive into the plan stage, just touch on expectations a little bit, which will be about performance measures, give you a couple of examples. I couldn't carry through in the time available both examples. So I've actually, over the weekend, I wrote a short paper, posted it on rtmteam.net that goes a little more deeply into the performance measurement approach I'll be showing you and has that other example in it. So in the plan stage, eventually all these four plans have to be, and the budget's just your financial plan, so it's a plan. All these four plans have to be aligned with each other, mutually supporting, but they shouldn't all have everything. In fact, we strongly recommend that strategic plan not have everything you're doing, but focus on major changes as well as things that support the CHIP or the SHIP. That's why you need operating plans, because a program that's not in the strategic plan doesn't necessarily mean it's unimportant. It just means in the next 3 years or 5 years, you're not going to plan major changes to it. But every program needs to have an operating plan, so sometimes called business or service or performance plan. And that's where everybody's program goals, objectives, measures, targets go. And the budget, then that should feed the budget request, but then the actual budget comes back and feeds that to revise the operating plans. And because in public health you got issues like obesity, health equity, disparities that really involve everybody in the department, not individual programs, you need the program operating plans to align with each other, which is a challenge, but you've got a special way to get around that challenge in public health. And by the way, we get agencies doing, in just one day of training, not even one day of training, just in the first morning of a day of training, we get agencies starting to do the beginnings of an operating plan, and they get further along by the end of that first day. So one big advantage for public health is the 10 essential services as expanded to the 12 domains of FAB that really help you align the program operating goals and objectives. And these are, we do that through what we call a top-level strategy map. Here it is. And some of you, if you've seen my presentations at APHA before, and there was one by somebody from Delaware doing a presentation showing very similar picture of a top-level strategy map that came out of our Results That Matter team's community balanced scorecard methodology. But what we've done for performance management is use the same map, but stripped out all the balanced scorecard jargon, so you can use this without having to learn balanced scorecards. And basically, what you got is the 12 domains of FAB aligned on the three bottom rows in a way, you see the big blue arrow on the left, in a way that they will support each other up through moving upward so that they all then support achieving the health outcome goals at the top. And again, right, this is what we get people doing in the first morning, applying this, not this way, but using this as a template to apply to their individual programs or issues. And what we've added, an enhancement we just recently made this year, was to add this objective S in orange to allow for programs that are internal, HR, purchasing, and then some programs that are partly internal. They serve internal customers as well as external customers, say vital records, lab services. They like to be able to show, and we put this in there so they can show not only how they actually help other programs, other internal customers achieve their objectives. So that's how they get started on the operating plan, by using this as a template for their programs, and then they need to create the expectations part of the plan, which connects plan to do, if you will, in the Plan, Do, Check, Act. And that starts with performance measures. Again, that very first day, they're working on picking performance measures or developing new ones. And, of course, performance measures in public health means population outcomes, place outcomes if you're doing it geographically. But those are all very high level. They're very important. It's why you exist in public health. You need to measure those. But they're very high level. They take a long time to change, generally speaking. They're lagging indicators. So you also need performance drivers. These are leading indicators that enable you to make mid-course corrections, because they're much more changeable in a short term than the lagging indicators. And some participant outcomes, people who go through programs, those are outcomes for the participants, but they're really performance drivers and for the bigger population outcomes. And what you end up with is kind of virtuous chains of success in strategic performance management system, where, you know, the performance driver towards the bottom of the chart will, which is like the ball on the right, hits the other balls, the other performance drivers, until the population or place outcomes there on the left, that ball bounces and you've improved health outcomes. So here's what a program from a county, this was a county we actually work with, and I didn't want to put, because I didn't ask for permission, so I didn't want to put their name on there, but it's a county in Utah. And this is what they came up with for an infectious disease program that was focused on reducing STI rates, sexually transmitted infections. And I highlighted with the red outlines the four objectives that they decided they were going to measure. You don't have to measure everything. And if you go through this, coordinating number four, coordinating with partner agencies, number 10, achieving standards, investigating new methodologies, those things are going to support and make it easier to succeed with number three, promoting STI testing and healthy behaviors, which is going to then help you reduce the STI rates at the top. So that's how you see it in the big picture. It starts to tell the story of the program, at least in very broad terms. And then also, here's a very important piece of this. If you do this before you develop the performance measures, do this before developing the performance measures, you're much more likely to home in on important, relevant measures. And here's the example. That these measures now show those driver relationships. So there's their top health outcome goals, the number of new chlamydia cases per 100,000 residents, driven in part by the number of residents who receive testing, driven also in part by the number of clients who report intention to change according to a stages of change model. And don't ask me what that is. Okay. And then the percent of people with chlamydia who receive education, driven by the percent of cases investigated within 14 days, which in case itself is driven by the percent who are reported on a timely basis, and that's then driven by the number of clinics who report within 3 days, and driven in part by the percent of hits on a website that's aimed at the clinics and the other providers. So you could see how the measures drive each other up from the bottom up to get your outcomes, and that those driver relationships now tell the story of the program and help manage the program for success. Here's how they were using our Excel template. Here's how it looks in that template. A lot of the things you see here have to be done manually because it's Excel. This is how it might look after about three quarters. But it can, even though it's not a lot of data, it can provide some nice insights. And I'll just give you a quick, you can use the graphing functions of Excel. And after three quarters, if you're seeing these good results on these two drivers, the percent of cases investigated and the within 14 days and the number of clients who report intention to change, if you see these good results and you also see that the outcome is going the way you want it, the number of cases going down, does that mean that these drivers are, and if you got these three data points, are definitely causing the STI rate here to go down? Well, no, of course not. You're all from public health. You know you need more data than that to prove causality. But as a manager, you're looking at that and you're smiling and you're saying something good's going on here. We don't have enough data to prove it yet. But something good's going on, and what you want to do is say, ask the program managers, if you're the executive, what are you doing to change this? Was this lucky blips or did you do something intentionally? And then you might look at other results and say, ah, this driver is going in the wrong direction. It started going up, now it's coming down. This is the number of cases reported within 3 days. So what you want to do with them is say, what are you doing now to push that back up? Because if the number of cases reported within 3 days it starts going down again, you're not going to be able to keep up the pace of fast investigations. So that's one case. This is one that I put into that little paper. This is a sample of what a little more advanced web-based dashboard might look like. It's based in part on what the state of Maine did, although I added some features they don't have. I've recommended for them, which I hope they'll use. I think they'll consider the next time they can revise this. But basically, this is a restaurant inspection program, basically. And in this case, this is on the main system. If you click on the measure, you get the data definition. And if you look at it, you're seeing much, you have to look at much less information to get a nice picture of the program than you would in Excel. Just the last period, the current period, the target, and what helps you see where it's going is to have the direction, which is based on the last two periods, but you can also put a number in there that says how many periods is it going in this direction. That can be very helpful. And then you can click on the arrow or the diamond on the trend line, and this main does also, is see the longer-term trend based on how much data is in the system. So that's all I'm going to present now. As you could go to rtmteam.net, and we have I posted just over the weekend a performance measurement resources on our homepage, What's New, and you get a whole list of resources, including the paper I just wrote, this presentation, a lot of other things, and phf.org also, under focus areas, performance management, has a lot of good resources. And from both of them, you can get to a paper that Jack and I and Les Veitch wrote about performance management using this PDCA approach. So thank you.